first, the indispensable principle, rely on the Holy Spirit. And I wonder if you can write the two notes there without my telling you what they are. You write them there, and you let me know later whether or not they're right. Our first principle in the study of Philippians is seek to get a bird's eye view of the book as a whole. As you begin to study Philippians, you should note that the book naturally divides itself into four parts according to the fourfold chapter arrangement. The theme of Philippians can be expressed in these simple words: the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life. Now, with this in mind, go back to the earlier epistles of Paul that we studied. What's the great purpose of Romans? It's to make me a complete Christian. What's the great purpose of 1 Corinthians? It's to make me a non-problem Christian. What's the great purpose of 2 Corinthians? To make me a new covenant Christian. What's the great purpose of Galatians? To make me a simple Protestant Christian. What's the great purpose of Ephesians? The great purpose of Ephesians, how did I express it? And when I got to it, I wanted to change. I used to say an enriched Christian, a balanced Christian, but I've changed it a little. Wait a minute, let me get that. A what? What? Yes, an ascension Christian. Ephesians, an ascension Christian. You see, in Christ, in the heavenly, God of all puts out in power. An ascension Christian. Then, what's the great thing God took me to do for me in Philippians? It's to make me a normal Christian. In other words, throughout the book of Philippians, the Holy Spirit is constantly pressing this home. Be normal, not abnormal. Philippians is God's great warning against an abnormal life. What is meant by abnormal? You see a little child that seems so pitiful, and you say, he's an abnormal child. You see him later when he's 20 years of age, and his mind hadn't really grown up at all. He's abnormal. Or it just tears your heart out by the roots. But what is abnormal? Abnormal means simply away from the norm. Away from the norm. What's the norm of the Christian life? Christ. Christ is the norm. And that which is normal is like Christ. And that which is abnormal is away from Christ. This is one reason why I don't like to use the expression deeper Christian life. Because people get the idea that only a few are supposed to live like this, some deeper Christian life. No, it isn't a deeper Christian life, it's just a normal Christian life. And Philippians is one of the best books to teach where people are sort of obsessed with this idea of a deeper Christian life. And only a few can really live up to this. No, if I don't live like this, I'm abnormal. If you don't live like this, you're abnormal. There's a big difference between average and normal. Sometimes you can use that expression in an overlapping way, but there's a big difference. The average Christian life is one thing. The normal Christian life is another thing. Dr. McClifford used to tell of this waiter. A fellow did a very unwise thing one time. He just asked him, he said, what's the average tip? The average tip, and the waiter said, $1. The fellow said, $1, that's pretty high, but here goes. And he gave him $1. When he gave him $1, the waiter said, thank you, sir. He said, you're the first person that's ever come up to the average. But now you see, he was using average in the sense of what he thought was normal, see? There's a big difference between the average and the normal. There's a big difference between the average Christian life and the normal Christian life. People often say, when you have a young Christian who's just been saved, what's a good starting point for him? Where should you start him? And you can't give a categorical answer. You know, one reason is this. The starting point is often in terms of circumstances. Because the best thing for him to do is to study the book in the Bible that Bible class is studying now. And you know, God's sovereign. It isn't wonderful to realize when God saved that person and planned about it, God planned for that Christian to be in the course where they're studying Ephesians right now or Philippians right now. That's his starting point. And now you can just say, now John's the best starting point, or Jenna's the best starting point. Often God doesn't work like that. Through his sovereign guidance, he just has you right in a particular book. And why is Philippians such a wonderful book for a young Christian? One reason is it's so very simple. It's one of the simplest books in the New Testament. Another reason it's so wonderful is it gives a normal Christian life. And you see, one great snare about young Christian is this. Right from the beginning of his life as a young Christian, he's associating with abnormal people. And he doesn't even know it. He sees them around him and he thinks, that's what the Christian life is supposed to be. But it isn't. Those folks are abnormal to the nth degree. And so that's why it's so wonderful to start him off with a normal Christian life. And that's one great value of this wonderful book of Philippians. Let me ask you, according to Philippians, what is the all-inclusive characteristic of a normal Christian life? If I'm normal, what's my all-inclusive characteristic? Now, don't say joy. Philippians is a great book on joy. Dr. Richard Robertson wrote a good book on Philippians, and he entitled it Paul's Joy in Christ. Because it's a wonderful book on joy, but it goes deeper than that. What's your one all-inclusive characteristic? No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with Watchman Nee's books. I've never read any of his writings. And so I just can't. I've heard some things about it, but they're all hearsay. And so I can't pass on Watchman Nee from first-hand experience. How many of you have read him some? Watchman Nee, do y'all like him? I've heard things pro and con there, and I'm just not sure. But I would do this, I'd check him by Philippians. Because I know he's not inspired, and I know Philippians is. But that's a good way to sidetrack, isn't it? No, that's not sidetracking, that's getting to the heart of it. The all-inclusive characteristic of a normal Christian life is that it's a life that is filled with Christ. It's a life that's filled with Christ. Now, don't say a life filled with joy. That is the most emphasized single characteristic. But all the way through, it's just a life that's filled with Christ. Do you know how many times in these four short chapters Jesus is mentioned by name? You might find it helpful if you're teaching young people Philippians. Just have them go through and put a little circle around every name for Jesus in Philippians. Do you know how many times he's mentioned by name? In noun form. 70 times. In noun form, I think it's noun form, in the book of Philippians, 70 times. But it's 98 times if you take these composite titles as different titles. For instance, Lord Jesus Christ, is that one title or three? You see, when I say 70 times, I take Lord Jesus Christ as one composite title. If you say 98 times, then you take Lord Jesus Christ as three titles. You see what I mean? Or Jesus Christ as two titles. Just suppose you'd ask Paul after he wrote this letter to the Philippians, do you realize that in this short letter, you mentioned Jesus by name nearly 100 times? I don't think Paul would have known it. But he was so full of Christ, it was just normal and natural to talk about him. I think one of the most precious things in any life is somebody who just finds it natural and normal to talk about Jesus. So that when he does, you don't feel he's talking religion or talking shop. You know, people use that expression, talking shop. And the idea is, here's somebody interested in a certain pursuit, he's talking about it, he's just talking shop. And then here's a preacher and he talks about Jesus. He's talking shop. No, he's not. Not if he's really talking about Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember Dr. Pratt on our faculty years ago just made this statement in chapel. He said, when a Christian really talks about Jesus in the right way, he's not talking shop. No, he's not talking shop. He's talking about his dearest friend and the one who's just everything to him. That's the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is a life which is filled with Christ. Draw a scriptural diagram which will aid you in a bird's eye view of the entire book of Philippians. First, let me give you my diagram in its simplest form. My diagram in its simple form is just a heart. And then inside that heart, I write the name of Christ over and over again. If you want to go right out and do it, you can just write the name of Christ 70 times or 98 times in that heart. But that's the idea. What's the normal Christian life? It's the life that's just filled with Christ. Just filled with Christ. I think I told you in an earlier connection, something that grows on me the more I meditate on it. You know, sometimes you hear something and it doesn't hit you right then, but when you come back to it later, it just hits you. It's what Dr. Alan Redpath said in my hearing once about missionaries. He's gone a lot over the mission field. And he said, one thing that concerns you deeply, you know, many who go to the mission field today are more and more concerned about the students who are coming out of Bible schools and Bible colleges today. They think that, generally speaking, those who are coming out of Bible schools and Bible colleges today are not the quality that Bible schools and Bible colleges used to produce. That's what they think in general. I mean, you just hear people who go around, they talk about those who go. Of course, they're skeptics. And it's not all rosy in the good old days. Not long ago, I walked in the barber shop and saw one of my friends from Bible college days puffing on a cigarette. It didn't exactly fit him, you can be sure of that. And it isn't all rosy. And yet, I do think there's a point to this. Dr. Alan Redpath said the thing concerning him was, so many missionaries didn't really love to talk about Jesus. He said they'll talk about missions till they're blue in the face. They'll talk about the heathen, they'll talk about their work for God, but you start to talk about Jesus, and they'll change the subject. Boy, if that's true, I want to tell you that's a serious thing. They've missed the whole thing if that's true. Because a normal Christian life isn't a life that's full of missions. It's a life that's full of Christ. Who was the greatest missionary that ever lived? The answer is the Apostle Paul was the greatest missionary that ever lived. But he didn't say to me to live as missions. He said to me to live as Christ.
Hey, Pat, you there?
And that's the one that dominated the whole landscape of his life. So my diagram in the simplest form is just a heart filled with the name of Christ. If you want to put it there 70 times or 98 times, you'll get the idea. Then let me give you my diagram in slightly more detailed form. We just got about 2 or 3 minutes, and I believe we'll give it to you next time so you won't be late. I always let y'all go on time more or less. All right, let's have our break. Now, as we close, will you just look up into his face and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. In Jesus' precious name, amen.